Address by the Master, Serapis Bey. Introduction. Our love and gratitude extends to the beloved Master, Serapis Bey, Hierarch of the Temple at Lexor. This great being has stood guardian over the Ascension Flame since it was taken from Atlantis prior to the sinking of this continent beneath the waves of the ocean. Without the sustaining of the Ascension Flame upon the planet Earth, there would have been no way for mankind to return home when they signified to life a desire to complete their evolutionary cycle. We bless him forever for his gift to life, for every member of the spiritual hierarchy who has ascended out of the limitation of the earth into the eternal freedom of the octaves of light, has used that flame which his life, his love, and his constancy sustained for that particular cosmic moment. Thomas Prince. Opportunity Through Incarnation. Address by beloved Serapis Bey. January 19, 1954. Beloved children, beloved friends, friends of so many ages of pleasant association, as I look over my book of memory and see your sweet names written on more than one page, and the fragrance of the association in which your lives blended with mine is wafted on the breeze, I stir again within your hearts a remembrance of the cooperative service in the name of the one God and all his manifold expressions in the kingdom in which we dwell and toward which you aspire. Many, many times have you been hopeful aspirants standing at the door of the temple at Lexor, holding within the confines of your uncertain consciousness the energies which were the harvest of your endeavors. More of innocence than wisdom has prompted your desire many times to enter into that concentrated flame which has been my honor to guard for thousands of years. It was not without trepidation that I accepted you into the temple, knowing full well that until the energies of your worlds were free from the pull of the outer world, those energies would return you again to the world of form until the fires of invocation would burn to ashes for the momentums that had not expended themselves, but rather had lain dormant for a time. Now you come again, and the door is wide open to your eternal freedom. It is interesting to bring to your attention the service of the brothers and sisters of the Ascension Flame, so that you may understand something of our endeavor, and perchance cooperate with us. In the fourth sphere, which is my privilege and honor to guard, dwell the holy Christ selves of the human race. Here these magnificent God-free beings worship together in temples of such magnitude that many millions may gather and send up adoration through song and the spoken word. Here I become well acquainted with the divine patterns of every ego who belongs to the evolution presently enjoying progress upon the planet and around it. There comes a time in this sphere, during the long course of evolution, when the Holy Christ Self of an individual will signify by its auric light that the ego or personality which it has sustained has attained to a point of evolution wherein the ascension of that ego is a possibility through the sublimation or transmutation of the outer self. These particular Christ selves are then drawn together and segregated from the great mass. They enter into special temples under the direction of the angels of the Ascension Flame. Here they receive instruction from those of us who are dedicated to the education of the consciousness in the drawing of the sacred fire which makes possible a final transmutation of consciousness. These holy Christ selves abide within these ascension temples, and in each 12-month cycle, when the Lords of Karma announce in every one of the seven spheres how many life streams are to be admitted to incarnate in the course of that year, it is my opportunity to suggest a certain number from the Ascension Temple who are to join the incarnating egos who will take embodiment within that year. This ensures entrance into the earth every year of the maximum number of life streams who could attain their freedom with self-conscious endeavor. For each of the other six spheres, the Chohan in charge draws the life streams representative of his ray. These are all presented to the Lords of Karma in a magnificent ceremony, which yet has much of sadness in it because there are so many more applicants than those whom it is possible to give opportunity. The Lords of Karma then must segregate from this number the small few who are offered incarnating privileges, the others returning again to their respective spheres until the passing of some soul from the earth makes room for another incarnation. Because of the specific requirements and the need of the cosmic hour in which we presently find ourselves, the cosmic law has allowed us greater freedom and an entrance into the world of form of larger numbers of applicants who can possibly attain the ascension at this time than ever before. For the past 70 years, anticipating this cosmic moment, we have availed ourselves of the leniency of the law and have not only presented for approval a greater number of applicants, but have been given larger grants in getting our chelas incarnated. If man could see how much of energy, how much of time and prayer and application goes into the drawing from these inner spheres of each life stream, who is taken within the compass of our aura before the Lords of Karma in the hope that a flesh body might be allowed them, they would not weary so easily of life or rebel at the opportunity of each day. Worse still, they would not snuff out that life and withdraw themselves from the appearance world. The priceless gift of life is so little understood by even the most advanced chela. We stand by those whom we have sponsored, those who live because of the petitions we have placed before the karmic board, and so often rebellion and discontent is our reward. If man understood these things, his first gesture in the morning would be to bend the knee of the outer self in gratitude for the opportunities that life offers him. When the karmic board designates the life streams that are to enter the earth plane, each one of the Chohans takes back into the temples in his own sphere those who come under his particular supervision and guidance. For a longer or shorter period of time, he prepares them through radiation if they are spiritually undeveloped and by conscious instruction if they are chelas. Then these great friends stand at the gates of birth, enfolding the incarnating souls with the blessings of their flame and ray as they pass through into the world of form. Here, I digress for a moment into my own activity, which you can duplicate in your own minds for any one of the other Chohans. Those whom we have trained in the action of the ascension flame, for instance, and those still on the earth who are ready to accept it, are particularly blessed because a brother or sister from the realm of Bay is given charge over the life streams. These become sponsor and guardian throughout the entire earth life, wherever the individual incarnates, and according to the response of the outer self to the inner intuition and light in the heart and the promptings of the attending member of the Ascension Brotherhood. Every conceivable way, means, shape, and manner is used to stimulate the heart's desire for freedom. It is one of the tragedies of life when those who have been marked for the ascension return home without taking full advantage of the opportunities given them. We are very happy at present because so many of the life streams in this great scheme of evolution are taking advantage of the magnificent opportunities within their grasp and the incarnating egos that are coming to earth within the next 20 years have unprecedented opportunities offered them. Now, through the great kindness of Lord Michael, we have been told that many, many thousands of souls of varying degrees of advancement are to be prepared at inner levels for the ascension without the necessity of re-embodiment. With this purpose in view, they are being taken to the great ascension temples in each one of the seven spheres, which are all snow-white in appearance, something like alabaster. In each one of these temples, brothers of the ascension shall remain permanently, and through the souls of the enrolled members, the ascension flame will be passed, as well as through all their inner bodies, until they come to a point where their consciousness can absorb a little of the understanding of the law. You see, it is one thing to take a consciousness that has an understanding of the law and develop that, but it is quite another thing to take an orthodox consciousness who has been given a grant of grace and transmute the energies in that one's world. This can be accomplished only through the action of the sacred fire, and it is my desire at this moment to ask for volunteers to give their time in the temples at night to pass the flame through these souls whom Michael has sworn to give their freedom. This would greatly hasten the preparation of those egos, and it would show the karmic board in the coming 6 months what a dispensation of such great scope can do for the evolution of the entire world. You know there is no such thing as selfishness in heaven, but looking at the hearts of my brothers and sisters, I find that each one of us is so deeply interested in some portion of the law that we take full advantage of any moment when we can gain the attention of any member of this race. Then we plunge into our individual service with perhaps little consideration for the problems that may be engaging the attention of the individual. In this connection, I can but assure you that while we present a phase of the cosmic law in the hope of obtaining your cooperation and interest in your consciousness, we are still fully cognizant of the shadows which you hold within your minds. These are the chains of the imaginings that bind your souls, and while we speak of cosmic service, we are well aware of the creations and limitations of the human consciousness. It has been said that the masters of light, God-free, looking at the great scheme of creation, have forgotten how a consciousness feels who is looking through the sense-bound shadows of the world. However, I can assure you that we never look into the heart light of any spirit without parting the shadows by the beam of our attention, and there is always some portion of our world permanently anchored in that consciousness during our communion one with another. How close are you to me? I brought you to the halls of karma. I stood before those impassioned judges and held you by the hand and said, "Here, O great lords of karma, is one whose life records shine, whose heart beats true, whose soul awaits the triumphant shout of freedom to enter into the great realm of immortality. Do you remember? I have stood by you from the moment when you knelt before the great judge, when every member of that great court in one voice gave acquiescence to your incarnation in flesh form, through which you are to write the last page in the history of your life expression. I will be one of the first to greet you on your return." You have listened now to the voice of your heart. You have felt the pressure of the brothers and sisters of the ascension flame, and we are closer at this moment than we have been since the hour when you took birth. In this coming 12-month cycle, not only in America, but in India, China, and Russia particularly, there will be thousands of life streams born across whose breasts is written the word ascension. Children of great light are coming to the earth, spirits of great sensitivity. Would to God the world were ready for them. I thank you for your invitation. What does man know of the joy in the heart of the God being so invited to partake in the affairs of men? We who have stood behind the veil watching the ruin of centuries of endeavors and yet forbidden by cosmic law to speak through that veil unless invited, abiding in the glory of eternal love, hoping that somewhere, sometime, man might express a wish for our counsel and our presence. It is beautiful to be invited, and we never refuse an invitation. In the activity of the new dispensation, which will do so much for the race, I would like to open the inner sight of those who know something of the power of qualifying energy. In this way, you could see what is accomplished in the music temples by the combination of certain harmonious chords, from the creation of the smallest cherubic figures to the largest of planetary globes and galaxies, as well as in the dissolution of certain forms and molds which have fulfilled their destiny and are returning to the unformed. The music of creation that surrounds the building of a planet and the music of dissolution which accompanies the dissolution of a sphere that no longer serves the divine plan. When this music, melody, and harmony is utilized in this world of form, with the full conscious understanding of the power of cohesion and radiation, there is no appearance that can stand before the life stream or group of consecrated egos who invoke and use those melodies which are completed at inner levels and but await their reception by an alert and sensitive soul. We hope within the next year to experiment with this, because the students who are the hope of the world must have removed from their inner bodies the quality of rebellion. This is the accumulation whose vibratory action was the fundamental cause of the fall of man and the separation of the consciousness from the Christ self, and which stands between even the most earnest individual in his own divine presence. At Lexor, you know, we have a tremendous discipline which was primarily designed to melt that rebellious vibration, which is so subtle that at times it is discernible only to the eye of a master, and the soul itself is unconscious of the existence of this vibration within itself. However, these harmonies and combination of sounds that melt within the feelings, that rebellious activity against the will of God, will permanently accelerate the cooperation of the conscious mind with our plan of endeavor. I am eager and desirous of setting this into motion, and I shall ask the full cooperation of the outer self in this service. Egypt has been my country since that never-to-be-forgotten day when we received word from the heart of the great high priest that Atlantis was to sink beneath the waves. We carried that ascension flame in an open boat across the uncharted seas and knelt before its smoldering embers on the bank of the Nile. With our very breath, we nourished into life again what seemed to be but ashes. I have not left Egypt except in four embodiments all through the ages since that memorable day. You have been with me many times, and we are old friends. It is my hope that you may bring to your conscious remembrance the power of the sacred fire that you have wielded in our temple, that you drew forth on our altars, by which you molded substance into form and rendered such great service to the public. Those things are recorded in your own feelings. They are a part of the energy of your dear hearts. Through your flesh garments, your hands, and through your fingertips flowed that flashing flame, obedient to your conscious direction. Through them you have conducted powers of precipitation, of healing, of levitation. I speak now to the memory which I stir within you. These are records of momentums which belong to the glory of your causal bodies, not something that must be born out of primal, unqualified life essence. They are the heritage of centuries of devotion and dedication to the externalization of God, which belong to you by right of earned endeavor. Sleep no longer in this limitation of the outer senses. You are guardian spirits, come to save the planet. You are here to fire a people and to resurrect those living in the death shroud of their own human creation. Your names are written in the book of life and light. I, who have served on the same altars with you, I, who have passed through the energies of my world, the confirmation of your initiations, am not content to see you linger longer in the shadows in this hour of planetary crisis that is upon us. Contemplation, coupled with action, is my request to each of you. Thank you, Serapis.